This is Zainab Sawalhi, and you're listening to The Leap Podcast. Welcome back, everyone, to The Leap Podcast. Today, I have a very, very special guest, someone very dear to my heart. Her name is Zainab Sawalhi, and you guys probably know her from TikTok and also from Instagram. And let me just tell you that she's one of the kindest people I know. And not only that, I actually met her at the gym, her and her husband, even before we became Leap of Hope and Zainab Sawalhi on Instagram. And she's 27. She studied interior design. She ended up getting a master's in education because she was interested in child development. And she also created an initiative called Tickets of Happiness. And Zainab, I would love you to talk a little bit more about what you do, who you are, and everything you're about. Hi, Zainab.
Hi, Amal, or Leap of Hope. I really don't like the first, like the question of who is Zainab. Looks like somehow you just forget who you are, you know? So my name is Zainab Sawalhi, and I started the initiative, like you said, Tickets of Happiness, because I felt like a lot of people were going through a lot in their life and you don't really know what's happening behind closed doors. And I wanted to be that voice of hope and kindness to them and letting them know basically that there is someone who's a stranger you might never meet in your life, but actually cares and leaves a certain message that can somehow uplift you.
So what does Tickets of Happiness mean? What do you do exactly to make sure that?
So I write handwritten messages, that's first of all. So it's as personal as it can be. These messages are basically directed to that specific person. So I always start my messages with, hey, you. And I end it with my friend. Messages such as, you know, your happiness, make your happiness a priority, or you deserve to be happy, or you're not alone, you know, trust the process, it's going to get better. I promise that no matter what you're going through, this shall pass too.
Do you leave that ticket?
So I go around different areas in Dubai and I just leave them randomly on people's cars.
So people think it's a
ticket. So it was inspired by RTA fines. You know, I was like, you know what, instead of leaving something that could make someone very upset, Why not just uplift that person and just make their day better?
I think I would be super mad if I saw the ticket and didn't know what it was. I'd be like, oh my God. And then it definitely does.
Yeah, well, the ticket basically has a cover page at the beginning. So like you'll see, oops, you've got a ticket. And you go like, what's that? But when you turn it around and you see that handwritten message and you actually read, you'll find that smile being drawn into your face because you've just like connected to it. And I believe that every message that is being put to that random person is the message that he or she really wants to hear. You know?
Of course. You're like a whole different level of kind. Mashallah alaych, Zainab. And I've seen you grow on social media. I've really seen you change since the first day I've met you. And you've become a very strong woman. And I hope you know that. I hope you know that. I'm not just saying that for the podcast. Wallah.
Thank you. I hope I do actually tell myself that.
You should.
I should.
You should take pride, I swear. And part of that, and something that really drew me to your story, is that you're very open with people and you share a lot of your life online. It's something that I myself find it very difficult to do, especially as a woman, especially as, you know, someone who lives in Dubai, an Arabic woman. And very recently you've shared a story, you know, about your own personal experience with pregnancy and with loss. And I would be honored if you would share your story with us in however way you want, because I feel like a lot of people are scared to tell their own story. So can you please do that for us?
Sure. I was actually scared too, because I felt like society would shame me for it, because somehow it just goes around and it happens to be the woman's fault. So last year, exactly a year ago, I found out that I was pregnant, and I was excited, but at the same time, I was like super nervous. Like at some point I told my husband, like, I wish this doesn't happen, from how nervous I was. You know, I was, nobody really tells you like what to expect when you know that you're gonna get pregnant.
Yeah.
So that was very shocking for me. But we didn't tell, like we chose not to tell anybody. And I had that very deep feeling inside of me, like I shouldn't tell anybody yet.
Okay.
During Eid, third day of Eid, I felt something weird. I was like, okay, what's going on? I found out that I was bleeding. And I knew immediately that this wasn't going to be good news. I know that some people during pregnancy, they might bleed, but I knew instantly that this is something not
right.
I went to the hospital. I did the test. The doctor told me it doesn't look so much. Don't worry about it. We'll do a blood test. We'll call you back, which they did. They're like, you're pregnant. Just after 48 hours, come back again and we'll do other tests and see exactly what's going on. I slept happy with hope. You know?
Yeah.
The next day I woke up, it was even worse. Like the bleeding was just different than what I'm what I usually, you know, see from, let's say, our periods or whatever. I immediately called a different doctor than I know and I told her the entire thing. And then she immediately told me, this is a pregnancy loss. Like, I don't want to put your hopes up. I don't want you to go and do another, like, wait for another 48 hours and do another test, because all that they're going to do is just put your hopes up and then crush it again. And you're not ready to go through all of that. So I broke down instantly afterwards because part of me did want it, even though I was nervous.
Yeah.
I would never have thought in this, like, I would have never thought that I would experience something like this.
Yeah.
Like, who knew that if you get pregnant, you might end up going through something like this? Like, I would have never imagined it.
I think, you know, that the scary part of trauma is that we always think it'll never happen to me, right? When we see other people, we're like, oh, we feel sad, but we always kind of distance ourselves from these things because we're like, oh, no. We're trying to like not accept that things like this can happen to anyone. And what's ridiculous is that miscarriages are more common than we think.
Yeah.
There's even a statistic in the States. I couldn't find one here. But in the States, 1 in 5 women get miscarriages. And that just goes to show you that this is not something that you'll just see random people get. This is very frequent. And almost, it's scary to say this, but almost 80% of the women I know experience some kind of miscarriage.
Yeah.
And there are different types of miscarriage. There's like early miscarriages. There are things that are called stillbirths, which is after 28 weeks. And they're all painful. There's nothing. I read an article where a man told a woman like, oh, it's early. It doesn't matter. We've already created a story for this baby. We named our baby. We create a whole scenario as moms specifically.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting emotional just talking to you because like no one experiences it like the mom.
And you created this future in your head, this dream in your head. So I knew that a miscarriage could happen, like just like how they taught us in school. Like, so the first 3 months are very like, they're very risky. They would say they're very risky because you can't actually get it. But I would never thought that early pregnancy, like I was just pregnant.
Like you just found out.
I just found out. And then a week or so later, they tell me that, oh, you've lost it. And obviously with the hormones and everything, it just like, I went crazy. Like I didn't understand. I didn't understand like what was happening. Like my body didn't understand. Like, but you were just pregnant and now you're not pregnant anymore. So what's going on? You know? I would have never thought about it, to be honest.
You know, it's so weird how women are usually the ones that feel shame and guilt. Like that's why I feel like a lot of women that I talk to don't want to tell anyone, because women are to blame. Like even if it's a defect with the man's sperm, even if it was, like to some extent, even if the man had problems, the woman ends up going to do IVF. It's always the woman's body that needs to go through hell and back to make sure that we are supposedly the protectors of our babies because we are the bodies that the baby grows in. But for me, that is so wrong on so many levels because the woman feels like it's her fault. And ironically speaking, studies show that in most cases, you know, miscarriages happen from chromosomal abnormality. So it's not really the woman's fault to begin with.
Yeah.
There was a defect. And it's kind of like, مثل ما يقولون رحمة من رب العالمين. Like,
أكيد.
But there's still so much guilt.
Oh, I remember that guilt. Okay, so I felt like subconsciously people were blaming me for it without them realizing or being aware of it. So like, I heard things like, you should eat chicken because, you know, you're vegan. So the next time you get pregnant, you need to start eating chicken.
Oh my God.
Because you're vegan. And I'm like,
what does that have to do with
the pregnancy? I heard something like, oh, last week I saw you went to a resort and you were swimming in the swimming pool, you know. That must be a reason to it, even though that is a myth. Someone else, they were trying to comfort me and they were like, you know, I know someone that went like through 3 to 5 different miscarriages, so don't worry. And I'm like, are you trying to make me feel better? Yes. Are you trying to tell me like I should get used to the fact that this is something common and I need to like get used to it because it can happen again?
Or just get over it. That's
or
what
get
people
over
are,
it, basically. Yeah. This shocked me to a point that it did affect me, with all honesty. Someone actually told me it's because you gained weight.
My God.
And it's not like your typical self because you're used to like working out, like you're very like active. And I can see from your social media that you did gain weight and you no longer work out or eat like the way you used to eat.
So basically, like, not only are they shaming us for losing our babies, but they're body shaming us at the same time.
Yeah.
Like,
and I felt so guilty. And I remember telling Abdo, my husband, that I can't get pregnant until I lose the weight. Like, to that point, it got to me, you know? Like, I'm actually being emotional right now about it, but I actually stopped wanting to get pregnant until I lost the weight.
This shouldn't be this, like, just hearing you say that is making me so frustrated because I remember when I was pregnant, I didn't tell anyone either. I'm a coach, right?
Yeah.
If they see me going to the gym, I will be blamed for it. And at the beginning, it was so scary. I didn't get pregnant quickly. It took me 1.5 to 2 years until I got pregnant.
Yeah.
And I always thought there was something wrong with me. And everyone I knew, everyone, including family members, said, of course you can't get pregnant when you're active like this. So hearing you say that triggers me a lot because I remember how I felt when I couldn't get pregnant. And it's not that I had nothing wrong. We went and got checked. There was nothing wrong. But because that was in my head, I feel like my body didn't accept getting pregnant because I was so hard on myself. And that's wrong on so many levels, Zainab. And I want you to know that I'm here to support you. And it's wrong. The way that they're talking to you is wrong. It's scientifically not correct. And I think culturally we have so much superstitions when it comes to getting pregnant. Like some people believe in like you have to eat certain foods to get pregnant. You have to like do certain things. You have to have certain days in the month. Forget about ovulation, بس أيام البيض or whatever it is. Like, I think we have to be careful with how we speak to women. In general.
100%. Yeah. But I was super frustrated from my side. Like, I was frustrated from myself that I let people's word get to me. And in the end, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wants you to be pregnant, he will let you be pregnant.
Hormonally, you weren't in the right place.
I wasn't in the right place, exactly. But I was so frustrated that I let something like that get to me because it's so not true. And I know it's wrong on so many levels. But subhanAllah, it's just like,
It gets to you.
You're a human. Yeah.
Like how many walls are you going to set up? You know, at some point you are going to break. But that being said, even though you had that, you know, you had comments from everyone. And this could be even from your close circle. Like I had a lot of people from my close circle also tell me things that were very hurtful. But of course, we never show it. But how did you get the courage to decide that, no, I am going to talk about this and I will share it with people online on my social media?
So because I do share a lot of stuff that like personal things on my social media, that I realized so many people are feeling that they're alone. And I knew that this is something that many people might have been through already, but because we don't have this, we don't share in our society, you know, it's like lonely. A taboo. It's a shameful thing. And no, I gifted Kalimin Falmodo, you know. So I wanted to let other women know that they're not alone, and maybe speaking up about it can open up conversations where we both comfort each other. And when I did that, and I was like, I was shivering, you know,
of course. It
was something very, very personal. And I still didn't recover from it, but I wanted to put it out there because I knew what it can actually do to others. And the amount of messages that people were like sending me, telling me, yes, I've been through something like that, or yes, I just went through it right now.
I swear.
And they started sharing with me how others blamed them for it, you know.
Yeah.
Someone divorced a woman after she lost the baby, because it's clearly her fault, you know, in their mentality or whatever. So many women, were in so much pain, and they were dealing with this pain all alone. And when
it's very
lonely. Yes, and when they saw that someone else went through it, they're like, whoa, we're not alone. Others as well go through it.
And it's common.
And it's very common.
Yeah.
And another reason why I wanted to put it out there is because ever since I got married, the question of when are you going to get kids was literally nonstop. Like literally nonstop.
Every day.
Every single day.
I promise you, I understand.
Or like asking me, are you like taking birth control to stop it?
Something wrong with you.
Yeah, something wrong.
Go
get checked. Exactly. Yeah. And after I put that, I promise you, until today, no one has ever came up to me again and asked me that question.
Which, why do we need to reach to the level?
It's sad, right?
Where something traumatic happens to us for you to understand that it's not in our hands.
Like, 100%.
I think I'm actually proud of you. I'm so proud of you because this is something not a lot of people are brave to talk about, to the point where I know a friend who got an abortion and went to work the next day. Because no one knew she was pregnant to begin with. So she couldn't even tell her boss. She felt ashamed to tell her boss, who was a male, that, oh, by the way, I had a miscarriage. I can't come to work tomorrow. I feel like this is my personal opinion, that there has to be some sort of, you know, like, what do you call it? Like, they need to give a woman leave.
Yes, they do.
for things like this.
Yes.
Like, let alone, forget about period pain, okay? Forget about even period pain and the fact that we are not even allowed to like take a break when we get our periods. But even when women go through things like miscarriages, we are going through it and hiding from the world to the point that we can't even ask to take the time to heal and to grieve.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And how did people react? Sorry, did you have any backlash from people on social media? Did you receive any backlash from people in the society after you talked about it openly?
No. Thankfully, it was all positive, to be honest. Like, it was proper positive responses. The only thing, like what you just said earlier, where like, just let us grieve.
Yeah.
Where people would be like, you know, you should be grateful, like it didn't happen at like a later stage. Like,
allow me to grieve.
But like, just allow me. It's okay if I cry. I'm not like denying, or like, I'm not saying, I'm not hating on whatever that God has chosen or objecting.
Yeah.
Just let me grieve however I want for as long as I want.
Yeah.
Because again, my body went through something that it's
trauma
that it doesn't even understand.
Yeah.
So it needs the time to grasp what just happened.
Yeah.
You know,
what's interesting is that people think miscarriages happen in a day. Some people's miscarriages happen in 2 to 3 weeks. That's how long they might be bleeding, especially those who go through IVF.
Yeah.
It's not something as simple as, oh, you know, I got a miscarriage yesterday, I'm good. You know, even I know a lot of women who had miscarriages, like I said, called stillbirths, where people needed to give birth to babies who already died in their stomachs. This isn't a one-day thing to recover from, nor is it a 2-day or 3 weeks or 4. This is, you've lost a part of you. I really believe that you've lost a part of you. And people don't acknowledge that. I think people kind of, they want to help, I feel like, to some extent, but I feel like they don't know what to say. So the question I have for you is, people don't know how to approach miscarriages still because it's taboo. So, you know, like you said, people are saying, Allah, I will chib another baby and you'll get pregnant again. And sometimes that's not what you want to hear.
Yeah.
So how do you wish people would have approached you while you were grieving? What do you wish people said or acted differently?
I'm not sure. I think maybe like just let me cry.
Yeah.
You know, like listen to me and just let me cry. Hold me if you need to. That's it. Like I don't think I want to hear it's going to be okay or Allah bi'awwadh.
Just be there, basically.
Yeah, and akid fi khira fi makhtarhu Allah, you know, like I already know that. Believe me, subconsciously, I am aware of all of this. I just need the time. Like right now, like actually a month ago, I told Abdu, I was like, I now know why God took that pregnancy away. And I'm so happy that He did.
Yeah.
But it took me, what, a year? A year to figure that out.
And to kind of accept it to some extent,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. So like, how do you expect me to like accept whatever that God has chosen for me within like a day of, and I did, and the thing is, I didn't tell any of my family members at least 3 days after it happened because I felt like I needed that space by myself. Like I needed to like
process
what just happened, you know?
Yeah.
And it is true, the closer family and friends of mine were the ones that mainly said those kind of words to me, and the strangers were the ones that were comforting me through their stories.
That's what's crazy,
right?
It's crazy. You know, there's some things I don't agree with necessarily, because a lot, when I gave birth to my baby, I went through depression and anxiety, and I was going through a lot, and I never asked my husband how he was dealing with having a baby because I was so overwhelmed with the baby and the breastfeeding and the sleepless nights. Because whether we like to admit it or not, there's a lot of pressure on the mom.
Yeah.
More than the dad, because our bodies literally, you give your body to your baby for, when you're breastfeeding, you are your body is your baby's food. Yeah. Like you have to be there 24/7. So I was going through a lot, and I never asked my husband how he was dealing with everything. And I think we had a conversation very recently, this is 2.5 years later, about how he felt when we had this big change in our life. And I feel like I always want to ask wives, like, how did your husband react to this? How did you work as a couple to overcome this, but to also communicate about this? How did he deal with everything?
So he knew that I wanted, like, my dream is to be a mother, right? That's like my goal in life. And he knew how much I wanted kids. So all that he was thinking about is how that was taken away from her. And he didn't know how to comfort me and to help me, but he also didn't know how to make me happy. Yeah. And while I was going through all of it, I didn't, like you said, I was so consumed by everything that was going on in my body.
With no blame, by the way.
That I didn't realize that there's another human being to the story.
And who also lost someone.
Who also lost.
Yeah.
You know, he made that future as well in his head. He was expecting to be a father by the next Eid, you know, and that was no longer happening. And what was even shocking, okay, yes, I am not to be blamed because I was already going through a lot. No one around me was checking or asking how he was.
Yeah.
That was after like a month. I went like, oh, whoa. No one, like everyone was sending me messages. They were calling me daily, checking up on me. But nobody asked how my husband is doing.
Yeah.
And
collectively, no one's helping you or him. Like, if you come to think about it. Yeah.
Right? And I was like, yeah, but that guy, I understand he's a man. I understand he's the man. And he's not like the one who
got physically
pregnant
going through it
physically. But he might, or he is going through it emotionally and mentally. And that's on its own is huge.
Yeah.
And then we started I start talking to him and communicating. And, you know, like, it's very difficult to really, like, get that emotions out from a man, of like, course. To tell you, like, his side.
For him, he'll be like, no, I'm good.
I'm That's good. It. Exactly. And all he was like, I was just worried about you. Like, you lost the pregnancy and I know how much you wanted to be a mother and I didn't know how to help. And I don't, like, I was very
They feel
confused.
Helpless, by the
exactly.
way.
Yeah. He was like, I felt so confused and so helpless and I didn't know what to do to make it better for you. You know what I mean? That was later on when we communicated. And obviously, I don't know how he actually felt because he didn't tell me. And I don't think he would ever tell me like he was hurt or something because he just wanted to be to make sure that I was okay in any way that he can.
It's for me, it's what's frustrating is that I feel like men should be part of these conversations.
100%.
Like, they don't want to be. Like, I will be completely honest. I've called some fathers just to – I want them to know – that we're also here for them and we want to help them also know how to react to certain situations and to know that, like, you shouldn't feel helpless. Sometimes we are going to go through things, but we have to have an open conversation. But like you said, it's very hard.
It's very hard, yeah. I mean, but the couple, like, I always say it's not just a mother's issue, it's the couple. Like, the couple went through this pregnancy loss or this miscarriage, so it's both of them. But again, it's... how can I do it when I'm very consumed with things?
With what I'm going through.
And the ones around them are not asking.
At all. Like, I've never heard two men talk to each other and be like, by the way, my wife had a miscarriage.
I lost a baby.
They don't even talk about their wives to begin with. Yeah. But like to tell your friend, like, listen, I lost a baby and I need to talk to someone. And I feel that's super important. Like, mental health is still lacking in that sense when it comes to parents. I think we talk about a lot of individual mental health, but collectively as parents, I think there's so much to be done for sure.
100%.
When you were going through this, there are things that I genuinely don't like about the medical field because when we are going to the doctor, even when I went to my OBGYN to this very day, she looks at you like you're an object. Yeah. She looks at you, oh, you have a uterus, you have ovaries, everything looks fine, you can leave. It's never about you, it's about the baby, right? Is your body ready for a baby? It's never, okay, what about the girl? How's the girl's health? What should the girl do to take care of herself? Because of that, I wanted to ask you, did you get help? Did anyone refer you to some kind of therapist at the hospital? After you went through this?
No.
Like, what was it? They just told you, oh, you lost a baby. Thank you. Yeah. Bye. Yani,
because to them, it was an early pregnancy. So what is there to grieve?
Yeah.
You know, this is something that I also needed to like tell people, like, I understand it's early, but
It was in me.
I was pregnant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So no one did anything. Not even the family around me said anything to me, like, go get some, seek some help, like, talk to someone. I ended up going on my own. I found a therapist and I was like, I need to talk to you and I need to, like, heal from whatever I went through because I went through depression and nobody in my family realized.
Yeah.
Like, on top of the fact that you tell me I gained weight, which I knew that, and I was COVID hit us all very, very, very difficult and it's very, like, hard.
If you're sad, this is like another layer of sadness.
Exactly.
That you can't just shake off for sure.
And there's certain things you just can't control.
Yeah.
And that on its own was difficult on me. Like, no, I must have done something, you know, like the blaming and the guilt all took control of me. And I needed help. And so I ended up doing it on my own. I ended up getting a therapist. But did anybody advise me? Did anybody push me for it? No. Absolutely not.
No. I feel like there needs to be some kind of procedure where even moms in general, anyone who goes through this surge of hormones, who faced loss, who faced trauma to their bodies, whatever it is, there has to be some kind of way where they are led to the right people so they get the right help. And I'm so sad that that wasn't recommended to you and that you had to go on your own. But good on you for being proactive in that sense. Because I remember I went through depression. I didn't know I had depression until, like, there were days, Zainab, I used to look at my baby and think of ways she could die. You don't understand how scary that is. Like, at the beginning, just visualizing yourself like, oh, what if my baby falls? Why am I thinking this way? You know, I was so depressed to the point where I was ashamed to talk about it. Like, the people will think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But I was going crazy, literally. I felt like I was going crazy. So I'm like, no, no, no. There is something, you know, mentally that needs to be, you know, talked about. I need to sit with someone. I need to talk to them. And I want them to validate how I'm feeling at the same time without making me feel like, all mothers go through this.
Yeah.
I hate this. I hate it. Like, oh, you're not the first one to give birth. You're not the first one to get a miscarriage. I've heard this being told to my friend who has gone through that. Like, oh, انتي مو بأول وحدة. So it's okay. What does that mean? That doesn't belittle my pain. That doesn't belittle my concerns, my feelings. That's why for me, there has to be some sort of way that we are leading women to the right places. So I appreciate that you mentioned that and you were open about your journey afterwards. But what is one thing you wish all women to know? Like, what is something you wish you knew when you were going through this?
It's okay not to be okay. Like, we all, like you just said, you get shamed for the fact that you're not feeling happy, and we're expected to be positive and happy and strong. Like, I hate the facts when someone tells me, like, you're so strong. Like, I don't want to be strong today.
No, I don't need to be.
I don't need to be strong. What if I need that person to, like, help me and pull me up whenever I need that, you know? And I feel like you said, women, when they go through all of these changes in their bodies and like the miscarriage and the giving birth, they're doing it all alone. Literally.
It's lonely.
All alone.
I've said this 1,000 times. Motherhood and being a woman and going through things like miscarriage, it's such a lonely process. Even if, like, I support, I completely understand that our husbands are there, but it's still very lonely.
And it's because there's lack of awareness. There's lack of understanding. Nobody taught. Okay, yes, there are a lot of people who are talking about it, but not enough, to get to all the women all over the world. And like you said, there must be changes at our work placements because we need their support as well. Like, how do you expect me to give my 100% when I just went through something as a miscarriage or even a pregnancy, giving birth? You need to understand that I will not be that kind of person that you expect me in the next, let's say, 3 to 6 months. And I have every right to do so. You cannot come and blame me for it or make me feel guilty.
Unfortunately, then they'll say, why do you want equal pay? Like, there's no
way. I know
winning.
Those arguments. There's no way.
No.
So I would love to let women, like, just know the fact that whatever they're going through, they're not going through alone. And
it's valid.
It's valid. And just try to find that one person that you trust and accepts you for who you are and for everything that you're going through in your life and that you can open up to and actually just talk to. Because I do know therapy can be quite expensive. And so we all need to find that one person that we can share with no judgment and just to get better because we need that help.
We deserve that
help. We deserve that help, yeah.
1,000%. I want to thank you again for being here and for sharing your story. And
thank you for having
me. I appreciate you, Zainab. But if you just want to end this with like a mantra that you live by, something that you live by, what is it?
I somehow forgot all of them. You just like to put me on the spot.
That's how podcasts work, Zainab. Words to live by. As Zainab.
Words to live by?
Yeah.
Like the only thing that I always remind myself is to be as real as you can. Because people need that kind of realness in you.
Especially when your profession is social media. It's so easy to lose that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like you're doing that quite well. And
I hope so. I hope so. Because I feel like at some point you might like
there's
drift
a fine
away.
Line.
Yeah. But like just be your real self because that's
real
the most beautiful
self.
Thing
Thank
that
you
you'll
so
ever
much.
Own.
Having Zainab on the Leap podcast really reminds us that a lot of women are struggling in different ways. And it's our responsibility to not only ask, but also be there for the people in our lives. a lot of us will go through different and very difficult circumstances, whether it's us, our moms, our sisters, our friends. So make sure that you're asking and make sure that you're being proactive and being there for every woman in your life. If you feel like you want to talk about this a little further, if you feel like you're a little bit shy or afraid, please don't be. Feel free to contact us via email or even send us a message on Instagram, either at leap.of.hope or at Zainab Al-Sawadhi. Thank you for listening to the Leap podcast. Make sure to subscribe and tune in. Also, don't forget to leave a rating and review and share it with your friends. It'll make it easier for people to find the show and to also learn from it. Your support means a lot. You can find me on Instagram at leap.of.hope or feel free to contact me via email, ml@leapofhope.fit. I am your host, Amel Murad, and this podcast is brought to you by Dukan Media. Thank you and keep leaping.